Well, everybody, welcome to episode 105 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We're going to talk a lot of boys golf tonight as the Ankeny Invitational was held at Otter Creek earlier today. The meet was shortened to 9 holes due to rain, but in the end, Ankeny came out on top with a 159 total, edging Marshalltown by one stroke. Ankeny Centennial placed 4th in the 10-team field with a 167. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Centennial coach Rick Fee and one of his top players. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny boys team. He has guided the undefeated Hawks to a 4-0 dual record and 2 invitational titles this season. He's Mike Weddingfeld. Mike, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I was planning to come out to the golf course today if the rain ever let up, but boy, it just never did. It must have been pretty miserable out there.
It was. I can't imagine playing in it. Standing out there watching, I know I was freezing and watching a lot of the kids go by, and they were drenched and didn't look like they were having a lot of fun, but we really want to try to get it in with the year that we're having with COVID and everything. We've had some of the schools unfortunately have to drop out, so we've lost some golf meets and struggling to find dates and things. So if we could get it in, we really wanted to get it in, and 9 holes was the best decision, I think, because I think nobody complained when we were done and ready to go home.
So did you decide before the meet you're only gonna play 9 holes, or did you kind of make that decision later?
We did, just that morning. Okay. We looked at the forecast the night before and it didn't look good. We really wanted to try to play, you know, some Iowa, it changes on a dime sometimes. So, but when we looked that morning, it said it was 80% chance of rain until noon. And then noon, it was 100% chance. So we just decided, let's try to get 9 in, tough it out, make the best of what we can, and go from there. And like I said, I think it was the right decision.
Well, last year you guys finished one stroke behind Marshalltown at your home meet, you know, so it had to feel awfully good to turn the tables on the Bobcats today, huh?
Yeah. 9 hole meets can be kind of difficult sometimes because you can have one or two bad holes and you don't really have a lot of time to make a birdie or get some strokes back. So I really didn't know what to expect from any of the teams. It's the first time we've seen Marshalltown and Valley and Dowling and some of those schools that we hadn't competed against. So I really didn't know what to expect in a 9 hole meet. So it was fortunate for us, I think, to get out of there with a one-stroke win.
Well, your team hadn't won the Ankeny Invitational since claiming back-to-back crowns in 2010 and 11, so it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has, and I didn't realize that until I saw you write that earlier, so yeah, it makes it even feel a little bit better tonight.
Well, good. Well, your team was led to the victory by Dylan Taylor and Corbin Walker, who each carded a 38 to place third and fourth, respectively. You know, I'm sure Dylan would have liked to defend the individual title that he won last year, you know, but that was still a very good score in those conditions, wasn't it?
It was. I was myself and some of the other coaches were talking during the round, and we kind of thought right around 40 might be the best score that day, just today, just because the weather was so bad, and to see those other scores come in. But then of course with those guys shooting 38s, that was great. I know Dylan was a little upset with his round because I think he was striking the ball really well. He said he hit, I don't know, maybe 9 or 8 or 9 of the greens, and just his putting wasn't on, and that's usually his strong point. So I think he felt he could have played a lot better, but, you know, with those conditions, it was still a great day. And like I said, in a 9-hole meet, you're just getting warmed up. You're just getting into it, and it's over.
Right.
You don't have that second 9 to kind of turn it on. So, and that's kind of the way we are. It takes us a while sometimes to get going. And unfortunately, with the weather as well, we weren't able to hit balls this morning and warm up. So the guys kind of got out of bed, showed up, teed off, and, you know, it's hard to start out your day that way.
Right, exactly. Well, Dylan's been pretty consistent this year. Earlier this season, he set a course record up at Mason City during a practice round with a 61. You know, did you think any of your guys were capable of shooting a score like that?
I didn't. You know, I think that's the type of stuff you see on Saturdays and Sundays on TV. So to go to hear about him shoot something like that is just amazing. I think there's just days where everything's going your way and you can't make a mistake. And I think that's what happened for him. I've never experienced that, but I would have loved to have witnessed it.
Well, you guys are obviously off to a great start this season. You've won all 4 of your dual meets in pretty convincing fashion. Only one of the meets was decided by fewer than 10 strokes, and that came in a 7-stroke win over Centennial on August 21st at Briarwood. And then last week, your team shot a 292 to win the Fort Dodge Invitational at the Fort Dodge Country Club. And I think that was your team's best score since you shot a 286 at the Ankeny Invite in 2011. You know, so you have to be really pleased with where this team's at right now.
I am. And, you know, I'd love to say it's all coaching, but it's truthfully all the guys. They put the time in the off season. They're out there every night hitting rain shots and at the putting green and the chipping green. And, you know, there was, I sitting here looking at Hunter across the table. I remember last spring, I think it was late March. It was cold and windy, and all of a sudden, Kurt sends me a text. Kurt, my assistant, it's a pro out at Otter, and it's Hunter out there hitting golf balls, only person on the whole golf course practicing. And so that's why these guys are good, because they've spent the last 4 years especially, but before that, since they've been little kids, just putting in the time, and that's what it takes. And so I just try to sometimes help where I can, and sometimes you got to know when to shut up and stay out of their way.
Yeah. Well, prior to today, your team had three different medalists at all five meets this season. Corbin Walker was the medalist in a win over Ames at Vinker in the season opener on August 13th. And then Dylan was the medalist in the win up at Mason City a few days later. And then Hunter Johnson was the medalist in the next three meets. So that really shows your team's depth, doesn't it, that you can have a different guy step up to lead you on different days.
It does. And I think that's really what it takes to be successful in 4A golf. You can't really go out there with just one or two good players, because the other teams are so strong. You've got to have those four really solid good scores, and it helps when you don't have to depend on the same one or two guys every meet. You know, all six of my guys or seven of my guys that are competing are capable of shooting low. It just depends on the day you're going to do it, and you hopefully hit a day where all four or five of them are going to play some of their best rounds. And that doesn't always happen in golf, and I realize that, and I hope the guys realize that too. But depth is definitely important, so you have more chances of hitting those days where you have several guys play really well.
Well, your team has a chance to wrap up its second straight conference dual meet title with a win over Marshalltown on September 17th. But I know you guys have some bigger goals than that. You know, you're looking to qualify for the state meet as a team for the first time since 2012. You know, and after coming up short at last year's district meet, I mean, that's really your biggest goal, isn't it?
It definitely is. It's been on our mind since – it's been on my mind since last year, the drive home from Sioux City when we didn't make it. And I know it's been on their minds too, because they've obviously been out there practicing and working hard in the off season. And we've talked about it. It comes up, and we keep waiting for the district sites to come out so we can go play practice rounds, because these guys are chomping at the bit to get back there and wherever it is we are and play. So I know that some of it is with the schools dropping out. They don't want to have, you know, say, here's where you're going to play, and then have to shift the courses around because of somebody not being able to host. But I think it's our number one goal, even though we try to just take a meet at a time, and it's never our goal to go out and be undefeated, but that's where we are right now. So I don't think we don't want to go out and lose, that's for sure.
Right,
so your
right.
goals change a little bit, but yeah, you're right. Our ultimate goal is to get to state and take care of business that was unfinished last year.
Yeah, I was looking for those district sites the other day, and I noticed that they hadn't been posted yet. So do you have any idea when they will be posted?
You know, the word was they were going to post them last week as far as the four sites, maybe not which schools would be at what site is what I'd heard through the grapevine. But, again, it's Wednesday, and I haven't seen them, so I really couldn't tell you.
All right. Now, the state meet will be played at Des Moines Golf and Country Club, though, right?
Yes.
I saw that's been posted already. Well, if your team is able to qualify, you know, do you know if many of your guys have played there before?
I don't know if they've played very much there. We're going to go play a practice round, probably play maybe a couple practice rounds. We're allowed up to three. We have one scheduled next week already, so I think the weather's supposed to be a little bit better, and so they'll all get to go see it. I think it's next Tuesday they're going. Again, you know, we don't want to put the cart before the horse, but once we find out our district sites, that'll be our top of our list. But yeah, golf is definitely a sport where you need to see the course couple times ideally and play it in different conditions. So
sure,
we'll get there a few times.
We've had some good teams during your time at Ankeny. In your first year as the head coach in 2005, you guided the Hawks to a third place finish at the state meet. You know, do you think this team has the potential though to maybe be your best team?
I do. Like I said, they work at it. I go home at night to see my kids and have dinner, and they're still standing out there hitting balls and chipping and putting and practicing. They just love to play golf. On their days off, they play golf. Their parents take them to play golf. They, you know, hey, we're going to have a tournament at, well, they already talked about Marshalltown as we lost the Ames invite, so we added the Marshalltown, and they were already talking about going and playing practice rounds just because they've never played there, even though it's just a, you know, it's not a district site, but they just
right.
want to play their best no matter where they go. So, yeah, this is definitely one of those top teams that we have big aspirations. And
when you have this group of seniors that have been around for a while, I don't know how this group of seniors, you know, compares to some of the other groups that you've had, but this group's pretty committed, aren't they?
They are. And you know, the other good teams that I've been part of over the years, they have those similarities. They're all good friends. They love golf. They just go out and play. They all get along. They're super smart kids. They take care of their schoolwork. and that's just, you know, to make a good golfer, those are all the elements that tie together. And so, like I said, I can just sometimes sit back and stay out of their way and help them here and there when they need it, but they know how to practice, they know how to play, they know what they need to put into it, and they do that. So it's a really fun group to be around, and it makes my job a lot easier.
All right, Mike, we'll finish up on this note. It was about a month ago when we announced our Ankeny Fanatic all-time Ankeny boys golf team. You had a chance to coach a number of the golfers that made the squad, and I thought it was a pretty impressive list of 12 golfers, and, you know, there are a lot of great golfers, you know, including Hunter, that didn't even make the squad. You know, that says a lot about the tradition of golf in this community, doesn't it?
It does, and ever since I've been a part of it, you know, Kevin Beer, before he left Otter Creek, was huge with the junior program, and we've tried to take some junior programs since then with Otter Creek continuing that. And, you know, just those, once you kind of set that legacy and get those families, I've seen, you know, brothers and siblings and stuff come through, and I think we're kind of known for our golf here, and so that's fun to be a part of that, and I think we'll have more great teams to come too.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot for coming in, and I appreciate it.
Yep, I appreciate you having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior, and he has been Yankees' top player throughout most of his varsity career. He was an individual state qualifier as a sophomore in 2018 when he shot a 76 to tie for 27th place in Class 4A. He led the Hawks with a 71.1 average going into today's meet, and then he shot a 39 today to play 7th as an individual. He is Hunter Johnson. Hunter, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, how'd you feel about your round today?
I was pretty disappointed with it after my short game's usually a pretty good part of my game, and I lost about 5 strokes today on it, so it was pretty frustrating afterwards, but I'm going to learn from it and move on.
Well, I see on the scorecard that you had a double bogey 6 on number 16, so what happened on that hole?
Yeah, I four-putted.
Four-putted, huh?
Yeah,
sounds like something I'd do.
Yeah, I just didn't have good pace control today on the greens. I just felt like they'd be slower with all the rain we've been getting, and they just weren't, so I didn't adapt to that very well.
Well, it was obviously very wet out there today. You know, were those some of the worst conditions you've played in?
They're up there. Yeah, I've played in snow before, so I've been colder. But, you know, I like playing in that stuff. You know, if I just don't think about it and let everybody else worry about it, usually take care of my own business.
Well, prior to today, you had been the medalist in your last 3 meets. You shot a 71 to beat the field by 4 strokes in the win over Centennial, and then you had a 34 in a dual meet win over Fort Dodge on August 26th at Otter Creek, and then last week you carded a 70 to lead your team to the Fort Dodge crown. You know, what has been the key to your success during that run?
Yeah, just kind of sticking to my game plan and playing to my strengths. At the end of the summer, I wasn't really hitting the ball too well, and then me and my dad really worked on it, and now that's becoming one of my strengths again, so just playing, you know, kind of playing more aggressive. And my putting has been on, so, you know, taking chances with the putter and taking aggressive lines off the tee.
Well, you obviously didn't have your best round today, but both Dylan and Corbin came through with 38s, and you guys were able to pull out a one-stroke win over Marshalltown. Now, are you guys all, you know, pretty confident in each other that if, you know, one of you, like, you don't have a great day, that somebody else will step up and have a good score?
Yeah, I think we're all pretty confident in each other. We always compete at practice every single day, trying to beat each other in, you know, chipping games, putting games, who hits it the straightest or farthest or whatever. So we're pretty confident in each other. And if, you know, if you have a team that's, you know, you have 3 guys in the top 10, that's pretty good. So.
Well, I know you missed the first meet of the season because you were playing in another event. So did you play quite a bit this summer?
Yeah, I played a lot. I want to say I only had like 1 day off where I just didn't touch a club. And that was, I was just exhausted and I couldn't do it. But, you know, every single day I was either hitting balls, chipping and putting. Yeah, it was pretty much every day this summer.
What was the highlight of your summer tournament season? I mean, was there one tournament where you played really well?
Yeah, I had one really good experience. It was the Iowa Junior Am. I didn't play my best, but I still won. I had a walk-off eagle to win. So
oh, wow.
I got pretty pumped after that. So it was a good experience. All the top kids in the state playing that one.
All right. Well, of course, both you and Corbin have been individual state qualifiers in the past, and this is the last go-around for the two of you, as well as Dylan, Ty Roghair, and Joey Newton. I know you guys really want to finish out, you know, your careers in style by qualifying for state as a team, don't you?
Yeah, we want to qualify for state as a team. I think that's a goal we've all had. You know, me being on varsity my freshman year, I know Corbin and Ty were with me at practices there, and we always talked about qualifying as a team. That's a goal of mine, and I think we want to go out with more than just qualifying. We want to try and win, but we got to just take it one meet at a time.
Well, I know we talked with Coach about this, that you have to get there first, but if you can do that, you know, do you feel like your team can play with anybody in the state?
Yeah, I think we can play with anybody in the state. in the summer tournaments, we go up against guys from other schools, and we usually do pretty good against them. So I think, you know, if we just stick to our game plan and focus on us, we can compete with anybody.
Now, have you played the Des Moines Golf and Country Club course much?
I haven't. We got a practice round scheduled, so we'll have some good practice rounds there.
Well, I know I've seen some tweets from some other golfers around the state that have been making their college decisions here recently. You know, where are you at in the recruiting process? Have you narrowed down, you know, the list of schools you're looking at?
Yeah, it's been a long process. COVID has really changed a lot of things with programs, you know, getting cut or, you know, players coming back because they have an extra year. So it's been really challenging. I've gone on visits to Iowa State, Nebraska, Drake, and Creighton. And just going on those visits, it's been super cool seeing different facilities and meeting a lot of players. But it's been tough. I've narrowed it down to a few schools. But I'm hoping to make a decision after state.
Will it be kind of a relief for you, I think, when you get that decision out of the way?
Yeah, it will be, a burden off my shoulders. Right now I'm just trying to focus on our high school season, just one meet at a time, not really thinking about the college decision right now.
Well, you guys have certainly had a great year, and I'm anxious to see what you can do the rest of the way. So, Hunter, thanks a lot for coming in, and I appreciate it.
Yep, thank you for having me.
You bet. All right, my next guest is the head coach of the Centennial team. He has guided the Jaguars to a 2-2 dual record this season, and on August 24th, his team captured the Centennial Invitational at Briarwood for the fourth straight time. I also want to wish him a belated happy birthday because he celebrated a birthday over the weekend. He is Rick Fee. Rick, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Good, Dan. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. So did you do anything special to celebrate your birthday?
No, just didn't watch football, that's for sure, yeah. But hopefully it's coming this weekend, so I can't look forward to that.
Well, your team ended up placing fourth today in a very tough field. What did you think of your team's performance?
It was pretty good. Like I've said in the past with the interviews with you, we are very young, and the weather today did play a factor in everybody's play, but Ankeny had a heck of a round, and so did Marshalltown after playing them in their own duel on their own course. They improved by about 30 strokes if it was an 18-hole match, so very proud of those two teams for the way they played.
Well, the conditions were obviously, you know, pretty bad today. You really have to be mentally tough to post a good score in those conditions, don't you?
Absolutely. You got to know going into it that half the kids don't want to be there in the first place because of the weather and the factors going into it. But it's the guys who understand that it's going to be tough, it's going to be cold, going to be windy, going to be wet. Those are the ones who are going to be able to push through the conditions and let their mental game push them to a good round.
Well, you mentioned the young team that you have. You only had two returning varsity regulars from last year, Jack Winkle and Johnny Sidoris, coming into the season, and you ended up with six sophomores among your top 12 players. Mm-hmm. You know, but the young guys have really stepped up and contributed, haven't they?
Absolutely. We didn't know. We knew the sophomore class coming in was going to be very talented, and they have been very talented for us this year. We just didn't know how far they could go, but as the season's been going forward, we've seen kind of a difference between our top six and our next six. And we're looking forward to everything that the sophomore class and the junior class can bring this year and then moving forward.
Well, I mentioned that you guys won the Centennial Invitational, and your team posted a score of 299 in your home course to finish 13 strokes ahead of Indianola that day. And anytime you can shoot under 300, you know, that's a pretty good day, isn't it?
Absolutely. Briarwood's not an easy course by any means, and when you can keep it under 300, especially there, there's a lot of OB, there's a lot of hazards to hit into. The weather was very good that day. It was a little hot, but our boys played very well, and the competition overall was pretty stiff.
Well, Jack Winkle was the co-medalist at that meet with a 71, and he followed that by earning medalist honors with a 72 in a dual meet win over Marshalltown a week later at Wandering Creek. You know, it always helps to have a pretty consistent number one guy, and he's certainly been that, hasn't he?
Absolutely. Jack has one main goal, and that's to replace his brother's records at Centennial, and by all means, I'm not going to get in his way of doing that. That's a great goal to strive for. His brother, Chris, was a great player for the school. And when he was a senior and a junior, his only goal was to replace the same records individually as well. So the whole family loves golf, and they strive for perfection, and we want that as a program and as an individual basis.
Well, Jack shot a 40 today to place a 10th as an individual, and Johnny Sidoris is right behind him with a 41. Sidoris is also having a good season. He led your team with a 79 that was good for a third-place finish at the Ames Quadrangular last Thursday at Vinker, yep. And he also took a fifth at the Centennial Invite with a 74. So he's another guy that you can pretty much, you know, count on every meet to post a counting score, isn't he?
Yeah, Jonathan's a great player, a good leader as a senior. One of the only senior I'm going to lose this year from probably my top seven. So this year it's very lower class dominated. but led by Jack and Jonathan. So I hope Jonathan can finish out the season the way he's been playing so far, and hopefully next year at the college level he gets some opportunities. But I know that what we have coming back for this year and next year are going to replace whatever we lose when he's gone.
We have had some younger guys really step up for you. Lawson Hackmeister led your squad with a 74 at the Fort Dodge Invitational on September 1st, which allowed him to place fourth as an individual. And Ethan King placed 11th at the Centennial Invitational with a 78. And those are the kind of performances that you're going to need, you know, the rest of the season to reach all your goals, isn't it?
Absolutely. The thing that we've had going back and forth with Ankeny a lot of times is we either lose four of our six or they bring four of their six back. And this year, they're going to lose five of their six, but we're going to bring five of our six back. So we keep going back and forth with each other. And Ankeny's got a great squad. And I think they can, like I've said in the past, I think they can take it all the way if they can get there as far as the health of the season goes. But I feel like the next 3 to 4 years of the Centennial program has a lot of talent to back up the play. So.
Well, one of your team's dual meet losses did come to Ankeny at Briarwood, and you since have lost to the Hawks at the Fort Dodge tournament and then also at today's meet. You know, and you mentioned that, you know, they got a chance to contend for state if they can get there. Who are some of the other teams that you see as the contenders for the state title?
Well, you can never count out Dowling, Waukee, or Valley. They always have great programs. We haven't met Johnston yet, but they always have a solid team. But I know that with as young as we are, as much as we practice, as much as we put into the game, on the right day, we can still contend with those teams. And given our district site, which we don't know yet, we can post a good score and hopefully qualify to play state at Des Moines Golf and Country Club.
Well, your team does have a few more weeks left in the season, you know, to continue to improve. And you mentioned that you don't know the district sites yet. And I guess some of that's going to be determined on which teams are still playing, right?
Right. We just had the first ranking come out on Monday, and we were seventh in the state. But they noted in the rankings that we started out with 56 teams, and now we're down to 35. So there's a lot of teams, because of certain reasons, due to COVID and other things, that they've been unable to continue the season. So as much as we want to know where we're going for state, we have to have enough teams to field a state or a district roster. So we want to practice our district site, but they have to know who's going to go and who's going to go where and who's eligible to play. So we get that at the same time.
Do you know if they'll make any adjustments as far as like how many teams would qualify for state then, since there's fewer teams? Or
There's rumors going back and forth, and I don't know what's true or not, but they talked about increasing it from four to six sites, but with the way teams are dropping out, unfortunately due to COVID and all those things, I think they're going to keep it at the four district sites, but they just haven't released the names because they don't want to fix it every other week when teams drop out or come back in.
Sure. Well, Rick, let's finish up on this note. It was about a month ago when we announced our Ankeny Fanatic all-time Ankeny boys golf team, and you had a chance to coach a few of the golfers that made the squad. You know, what did you think of our list? You know, there's been a lot of great golfers to come through this town, hasn't there?
Absolutely. I got to know a lot of the Elgren and Peck family, so I was happy to see that Connor made the list. And I was lucky enough to be John's assistant when Huseman and Matthias came through. So I got a little bit to know Schneff, but and Winkle and Russell. Those are my two main guys that I was hands-on with as the varsity coach. And I couldn't have asked for two better players and two better teammates as far as Chris Winkle and Brandon Russell, because you could just leave them alone and they knew what they had to do day in and day out. To put the work in, and they knew what it took to play at this level, and eventually they went on to the next level and played at college at two different universities. So they exceeded there, and I'm happy that I was a part of the state championship team of 2013, and then to coach some of the future players that made that list when I was the head coach.
Well, yes, Centennial certainly off to a good start as far as building a good tradition of its own. I mean, Ankeny's obviously had some great success over the years, but you guys won a state title. You can't top that. So.
No, you can't. Hopefully Ankeny can pull through this year, and with the team they have, the coaching they have, and the structure they have in place, hopefully they can add one since the split.
All right, Rick. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. All right, my final guest tonight is a junior on the Centennial squad. He entered today's meet with a team best average of 75.3 strokes, and then he shot a 40 to place 10th as an individual today. He's already been a three-time medalist this season. He is Jack Winkle. Jack, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
I'm good.
Appreciate it. Well, how'd you feel about your round today?
As Rick said, the conditions were tough today. You had to know what you're doing going into it. Played pretty good, hit a couple bad shots, but finished strong.
Well, I see on the scorecard that you had a double bogey 7 on number 11. You know, so what happened on that hole?
Hit a bad tee shot and had to take a penalty stroke, and that's kind of what led me take a double bogey.
Well, how bad were those conditions today? You know, were those some of the wettest conditions you've played in?
Yeah, that's probably the worst rain I've played in a meet so far in my high school career.
Well, you knew coming into the season that your team didn't have a lot of experience. Did you feel like you really need to step up and become a leader for this team?
Yeah, we have a lot of young guys and a lot of talent hopefully coming in. Just hoping I can do what I can to help lead these guys.
Now, had you played a lot this summer? Did you feel like your game was already in pretty good shape coming into the season?
Yeah, I played pretty much every day over the summer, just trying to get my scores as low as I could. And I think I'm at a pretty good point now.
Well, I mentioned that you won a medalist honors 3 times this season, and those all came in the first 4 meets of the year. You then placed 8th at the Fort Dodge Invitational with a 76, and then you took 5th at the Ames Quadrangular with an 80, which was your highest score this season, before shooting the 40 today. Now, obviously, the conditions were a factor today, but do you feel like your game, you know, still needs a little work at this point in the season?
Yeah, I'd say over the past couple of days, I've let a few strokes go, maybe around the greens, and could probably clean that up a little bit.
Well, like we talked with Rick, you know, you guys have seen a lot of your crosstown rivals so far this season. You know, what do you think of the Hawks? Do you think they have a chance to make some noise at the state meet if they can get there?
Yeah, the Hawks have a really good team, and I've played with a lot of those guys. I know all of them can go pretty low, and hope they can do well at state tournament.
Well, of course, you played in last year's state meet at TCI, and you helped the Jaguars to a 9th-place finish. You know, even though you guys do have a young team, do you feel like, you know, you've got a good shot to maybe get back there this year?
Yeah, we placed 9th last year, and I think we got a pretty similar team. And hopefully we can just put 4 good scores up and maybe get close in there.
Well, Coach mentioned that the state meet will be held at a Des Moines Golf and Country Club this year. Have you had a chance to play that course very much?
Yeah, I played a couple tournaments there this summer and played pretty good in those. So I'm pretty familiar with the course.
Well, what's the key to being successful there?
There's a lot of places to hit the ball in the hazard and add unnecessary penalty strokes. If you know what holes you can miss on and what holes you really can't, it can help you out there.
Well, Jack, people that know that you come from a family of golfers. Your dad, Chris, was an accomplished player, and he's been the head coach at Grandview University for nearly 2 decades. Your older brother, CJ, was also a standout at Centennial who went on to play at Oklahoma City University, and he was named Ankeny Fanatics all-time boys golf team. So I'm guessing you probably didn't have much of a choice whether you're going to play golf or not, huh?
Believe it or not, my parents kind of let me do what I want as a sports, but I had a lot of help from my dad, obviously playing golf, so I was really good at it, so I kind of just stuck with it.
Now, have you thought about whether you'd like to play, you know, in college or not? And has your dad been recruiting you?
I have thought about playing in college. I would love to play in college. Right now, I'm just trying to get my scores as low as possible, see if who wants me.
Sure. All right, Jack. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. I want to thank all my guests again for coming in tonight. They had a long day out at the golf course, and I appreciate them taking some time this evening to come in and talk about the rain-shortened meet. So come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.